The Two Brews in the Studio Show. The podcast. Podcast.
1, 2, 3, 4. Salute to the creative geniuses that you are. You're now tuned into the Two Bros in the Studio Show podcast. I am the Beta Taylor, a.k.a. Hawk Brogan.
And my name is Tabari Fingal, a.k.a. the Brilliant Professor.
That's right. Guys, grab your iPhones, grab your Androids.
Whatever
your desktop,
whatever
you're listening to right now, you're probably listening to us on your phone, most likely. We've seen you out there. We've seen the metrics.
Yep.
But anyway, go to SoundCloud.
SoundCloud.
Two Bros Show.
Yep.
Then go to Instagram and Twitter. At Two Bros Show.
Yep.
Most importantly, go to YouTube.
Go to YouTube.
Search the Two Bros in the Studio Show. You're going to see our icon pop up.
Yep.
All right. Once you click onto that icon, you're going to see a bright red button that's going to say subscribe.
Yep.
And smash that. All right. And then what's even more important after that is that after you review some of our content on there, please leave a comment.
Yep.
In the comment section.
Hit that thumbs up for us.
Right, right. Be that first person. Be the cool guy on the block to drop a comment or even just ask questions about, I don't know, some things that we probably might have missed out on the episode.
Exactly.
Let's get this conversation going.
It's about the conversation.
That's right. It's for the community. We're doing it for the culture.
It is.
The creative culture, the creative community.
Yep.
Yo, Professor.
What's going?
Exactly.
Yep.
What's new in your world, man?
Man, I'm here, man. I've been watching my Facebook feed and watching my Twitter feed and everything, and everybody's going on and on about this Kaepernick stuff right here, man. And I'm trying to see what's good. I'm trying to see what folks really think, but it's really like one-sided. I think folks are looking at it like either they're saying he's a hero or they're saying, well, he sucks anyway, so fuck him.
You know what, it's funny because, you know, the way I look at this whole Colin Kaepernick situation is that I think that he's actually putting a lot on the line.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? He's putting his career on the line. Whether you probably don't think he has a future in the NFL or whatever, but he has endorsements, right?
Absolutely.
But yo, he's taking a stand for something that he feels is right, and he's exercising, you know, his rights, right?
I don't really understand the people that are like, yo, fuck him. I really don't. I gotta be honest, I don't get it. Because, you know, folks are like, well, if he's gotta be so disrespectful to the armed forces, and I'm like, what does that have to do with?
Right, exactly.
That has nothing. Those two things
absolutely
aren't
nothing.
They're not mutually exclusive. Like,
right.
You sound a little silly at the moment, but I understand the sentiment theoretically. But if he's standing up in defense of America as he understands it, how does that make him unpatriotic?
Exactly.
That doesn't really make logical sense, but I get it. People look at the flag as a personal thing. So, but, you know, there was a veteran who made a comment that was like, you know, I didn't go to war to fight for his not to be able to exercise his rights.
For sure.
I went to war to protect those rights.
Absolutely.
So agree with him or not, he's exercising the rights that we fought for.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually have a friend that's a veteran too, and he been to Afghanistan and back, Iraq and back.
Yeah.
I mean, he's taken on a couple tours. Shout out to my homie Laurent. But he mentioned something. He said, you know, and he's a Marine.
Okay.
And
shout out to the Marines.
Yep.
Hoorah.
And he said something that I thought that was pretty dope. He said, you know, I fought for this country, and there's a lot that's in the Constitution and a lot that we stand for that I don't necessarily agree with, but he's actually standing something that overall, something that we fought for. So salute to him. I have no problems with that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really understand how you could.
And he's a vet.
I don't understand. I don't. Yes. That's the point. That is the point. You went to war to protect the rights that collectively create the situation we call America. So somebody expressing those rights should not necessarily be looked at as unpatriotic. I don't know that he should be looked at as a hero either, but at the same time, I don't see him as unpatriotic.
Yeah. So I posted something on my Facebook, and you know that I pretty much said, "Yo, he didn't actually say F your mama, F the soldiers, or anything like that. He's just taking a stand, right?"
He didn't even say F the police.
Exactly, which he should have. Maybe people probably would have felt a lot better. Then he probably would have got a whole bunch of Blue Lives Matter hashtag to follow up behind that.
Yeah.
But there was a young lady. She said, "Well, what if somebody white that said that? I mean, did what he did? I mean, do you think it'd probably be more effective?" And I was like, maybe, maybe not. Because this is how I think the spin, it could have had a spin on. And I'm talking about the media, because the media, you know, they love putting things in the washing machine on spin cycle, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the media probably say, well, there's one Caucasian athletes that are standing up for Black Lives Matter when colored or when black athletes feel they shouldn't have to or didn't take, you know, advantage of the opportunity to stand up. So yeah, I mean, it you know what I'm saying, it could have gone many different ways, you know, good yeah. or bad, but I think that probably be one way that they're spending. Of course, you know, that athlete will probably get so much, you know, hate mail and so forth and so on. So but I don't know, man. You know what? I'm kind of over the whole notion of nobody can't stand up for anything, but yet, you know, anybody can say just about anything on freaking social media, you know, go on a racist rant and everything, but that's all acceptable, right? You know what I'm saying? And so when somebody as an athlete, you know, use, you know, their stance use their platform or use the power that they have and say something, you know, that they feel that they shouldn't have to stand for it, it's an issue. So,
well, Harry Belafonte came out and said he would like to see 200 other
athletes,
black athletes, come out and speak sure. on the issue. And I don't always agree with dude, but Stephen A. Smith came out and kind of went on him. He was like, look, not Kaepernick. He was like, there's a lot of other black athletes out here that's eaten off this situation, but they eaten. You feel me? He said, when everything is said and done, the culture's starving, but you eating, and you ain't gonna mess that up to speak on a culture. So you're not gonna bite the hand that feeds you. I got that, but that doesn't necessarily make you somebody that I can rock with. Basically, I'm paraphrasing what he's saying, but
right.
you know Stephen right. A. He kind of get in. He kind of go in a little bit.
Yeah, Stephen A. He's very boisterous. I like him I like him for just having a voice. You know, look, it sounds like Lalo over here has a lot to say.
Let's introduce Lalo so we can
hop in on this conversation.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lalo.
Please let me talk.
Get right up on that mic.
Yeah, get right up on the mic, bro.
This is a lot, man.
Yeah.
First of all, I hate Stephen A. Smith.
Why you hate Stephen A. Smith?
I don't hate him. I don't hate anybody. Right. I just hate his commentary on the culture a lot of the times.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, I agree with some of his stuff, and I understand right. why he has his job. He's good at his job.
Yeah.
But for him to say some of the stuff that he says, like, you know what I mean, what he just mentioned, like, it's just like you kind of put everybody in a box. You know right. what I mean? And he's, yeah. you know, for him to be like, oh, they shouldn't say anything because they're being paid by the man, is the exact opposite of like the point of doing it. Like,
right.
It's like, oh, they shouldn't, you know what I mean? They can't sacrifice. They got to feed their families. They can't, like, it's just a bigger picture that I don't think Stephen A. sees a lot of the times when he says the things that he says.
And yeah.
A lot of the times he says things that are off-putting and it is very annoying.
Yeah. I mean, he went on Cam Newton came out and he was kind of dancing around. He was in an interview. He was getting asked a bunch of questions and Cam was like, yeah, I mean, I wish we lived in a better society, but we kind of don't. So, yeah. And Stephen A. got on him. He was like, bro, you are the top athlete right
like,
now.
Ain't nobody
dropping you from your team. Speak your mind. You a black man in this country. You hip. Speak your mind. Ain't nobody going. You ain't like Colin Kaepernick. He's at the tail end of his career, and he might be done because of this. Nobody's letting you go if you speak out. So speak out.
Stephen A. be all over the place, man. But it's as far as Kaepernick, it's like I feel like I don't know if hero is the right word, but he's definitely a huge influence. Like he's a huge influence. Like he's already gotten other athletes to kneel with him or, you know, sit with him as far, you know, as far as what he's doing during the anthem. And
yeah,
he's gotten the conversation, like he's taking it, the conversation to another level, because the National Football League is the biggest televised event. You know what I mean? Especially during these next 4 or 5 months, this is all everybody's talking about is football every week. So it's
for him to do it
at the beginning of the season and then not even draw attention to himself, but just do it. And then the media swarm him, you know what I mean, a couple weeks into it.
That's true. Like, because a lot of people were calling him like
he was looking for attention.
Attention.
Like, he's doing the exact opposite. And I don't care what they calling him. At the end of the day, the point is the goal. What is the goal? I don't care if he was an attention whore.
That's
trying to be an attention whore. Look at the conversation he started.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like he's met with Jim Brown and Kareem and all these brothers and actually tried to like do something.
Yeah.
Like
a lot more
than other people have tried to do. A lot of people out here with the lip service and talking about what they do and how things should change. Like he said something and you could tell he's learning on the go.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You could tell he's learning on the go. He's admitted that. Like I'm trying to get more involved. I'm trying to figure out what I need to do. But
and that's great.
Yeah,
that's
great. That's everybody a good thing.
Everybody think that they have to be in a perfect place,
you know,
to do something or move forward
with
something.
The second you decide you want to make change or you want to affect change positively, like there's no reason for you to not start at that moment.
Absolutely.
You can't not start at that moment because you didn't start last month or a year before that.
Right.
Like, oh, I wasn't doing it last year, so now I can't affect positive change this year. Like that makes no sense. Like it's stupid. Like and for people to question him and his motives and like I just feel like it's ignorant and a lot of it's coming from ignorant people in our culture and white people because they just don't understand where he's coming from.
Right.
Yeah, I mean they don't see it the same way he does.
Right.
So it's just, you know.
I was watching a show today and today Trump went out to speak to black church. And you should see it. Trump speaking and everybody in the congregation standing up and cheering. And it just goes to show you whether you think he's a great presidential candidate or not. People see things way.
Black people like being on TV.
Black people like being on TV.
Fair.
I mean, let's just
fair. Because
ain't none of them niggas voting
he's
for Trump.
Speaking,
like, come on, man.
He's speaking, and the audience is standing up and cheering.
Come
I'm
on,
like,
man, that's a show, bro.
All I saw was Sambo.
That's
Sambo.
A show. He probably got
buddy.
Yeah, that's a show, bro. Like that's a show, and you get some Sambos in the room. You get some, some. You know what I mean? They gonna do the dance. You know what I mean?
He knows exactly what to do, man. I mean, come on. This guy had a reality TV show.
Yeah,
and he's treating his whole campaign like it's a reality
and nobody,
TV show.
I'm glad you said it because I'm surprised nobody else sees it. I'm like,
no, we see it.
Exactly.
The problem is, see what's going on. Like he's about to trick
nobody
y'all.
Can't turn it off.
Right.
Want to turn it
it's like a good show.
That's
it's a good
it
show.
It's a good
show. That's what it is.
That's really what it is. But now it's like,
he got good ratings. That's
like, damn.
Nielsen loves him.
The Nielsen box loves
that's
this.
That's like, dang, he's actually one of the two people that could be president for the next 4 years. What did we do?
It's like after he becomes president, the show gets canceled and
we go,
oh,
no. Damn.
Yo, we just sold into a pilot.
That's like when you were a kid and your
that was not that good.
That's like when you were a kid and you ain't realize that you had to pay for those movies. That so your mom come home and look at the bill and like, who the hell? You're like, this was fun, but now that it's over, it's damn it time for you, buddy.
No more GTV.
Nothing for you.
It's a
I
joke,
hope Terminator
man.
2 was worth it.
Right. Oh my
but
God.
But he brings out all the racists, and just his campaign alone just lets you know, shows you how racism isn't over, and the Kaepernick thing shows you how racism isn't over. And it's really insulting to my intelligence and every other black person's intelligence for anybody to say that racism is over. Because all you got to do is look at one of these black athletes' timelines and see how many times they've been called nigger on the internet.
Like,
it's crazy.
Bruh.
Like, by youngins, too. Like, people who are being talked this by their parents. Like, that's how you... That's the ultimate disrespect to a black man. You call him a nigger
that's
on the internet. Like, these are... 15, 21 year olds. Like, why are you talking like this? You probably grew up on rap music.
Yep.
Like, what are you doing? Like, why are you, you know what I mean? But it's just what they're taught, and they're still being taught that we're inferior, still, no matter how what our status
I'm
is.
I'm still old school with it. If you're a white guy, don't use the word nigga. Just leave it alone. I know these young kids are like, oh, well,
that's not old school.
I'm sorry,
that's new school. That's forever school.
That's how I feel. But right. A lot of these youngins, I'm talking about us, our youngins, they're like, nah, man. If I say nigga, I give you permission to say, you got it. You good? I'm like, you setting that dude up for failure. I promise
don't do
you
it
that.
Around me.
Yeah, man. And look, you know what? I got a lot of white friends, and none of them use that word around,
like,
around
don't
me
do it.
At all. Like, but you know what?
I'll say it all day.
Don't
come behind me and say it.
Right.
Just don't, because that's not that, it. Won't go well. It's not gonna go well.
But yet, they also have an ultimate respect for our culture too, as
right.
well.
And that's really you what it's what about. Saying? But see, yeah. when they do feel like they can freely do that, they don't have the respect for the culture.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Right.
That is very true.
You can tell they don't understand.
Right.
Like, they just don't understand, because if you knew, you would know better. You know what I mean? So
yeah, exactly. And your friends and your black friends would care about you.
Exactly.
Because this could what could possibly happen. You know, you and your homeboys all together, but your white friend is saying, you know, nigga, and calling all his friends nigga, but all of a sudden there's a dude on the street
that don't
know what I'm saying, that ain't rocking with it, and the next thing you know he go over there and slump the white boy.
And what you gonna do?
That's why I said you setting him up for failure.
Like, and then you looked like, okay, you gonna be like, yeah, you was letting him. Yeah, I mean, like, it's y'all fault he got slumped. Y'all should have said something.
He should have said something.
Y'all, but you know what, man? My good friend Dominic, he mentioned to me, he said, yo, racism is being perpetuated by the media, and he don't see things the way, you know, the media portrays it to be. He don't think that it's that important right now, you know, although he does believe that there are some systematic issues, he understands that there's some systematic issues and stuff like that, but he also feels that, you know, over the past couple of years, maybe like the last 4 years, you know, the media has perpetuated, you know, the what racism is in America.
I think that's a short-sighted viewpoint.
They keep trying to tell us that racism built over.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if you've been watching all this cat, why is he mad? Like, it's not really that serious.
Exactly.
Like, that's really what it is. It's not. I don't think it's they're trying to promote that there's racism still going on. They're trying to sweep it under the rug. You know what I mean? They don't want.
I feel like
that's exactly why every time there's a police shooting, it's such a huge deal,
right?
Especially now, because every time there's a person who goes, we're finally in a post-racial society, then another white cop shoots a black guy who had a Snickers bar and was walking down the street with his hands up.
Right. We've never entered a post-racial.
So every time somebody says it, it seems absurd. So then we got to talk about it, because your statement is now ridiculous.
Right.
So it's kind of hard to get around it. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? Maybe we should talk about this on another day.
This really is a huge topic of discussion right now.
It is the topic of discussion right now.
But this is not what we're here to talk about.
It's going to be a part of it, though. It's going to be a part of it. Because
later on in the show?
In the show, because we're talking about weed culture. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about weed culture. So if we're talking about weed culture, that's a part of it. It's a part of it.
That wasn't a dab, though. If it was a dab, I'd probably be like sloppy coughing, you know what I'm saying, with the saliva hanging down
mouth. I'd be passed out with my eyes open.
The dabs is real. They said I'd be passed out with my eyes open. Damn.
Yo, I've seen folks do that, though, for real. That's scary.
That's some scary shit.
Yeah, exactly. So, yo, let's go into this break, and we're gonna hop in and chop it up with Lalo and just go on about this show.
All right. Break. What's up, y'all? This is your boy Tabari Fingal, aka the Brilliant Professor, and I'm here to tell you what you can do to get your music featured here on the Two Bros in the Studio Show podcast. It's real easy, just a few steps. First, go to the Two Bros in the Studio Show YouTube and SoundCloud accounts at Two Bros Show, or you can search us on YouTube, or go to the IG account and click the link there to go straight to YouTube. And make sure you click that follow button. We want to see you following us, and we'll follow you back. Number two, send an email to twobrosshowinfo@gmail.com with your artist name, any social media handles you have, IG or Twitter, and make sure you send at least 3 clean versions of the music you want to showcase and anything you want us to know about the music specifically. Let us know so we can let everyone else in the network of creators know. Number three, if your music is selected, you'll receive an email confirmation response by one of the team members here at the Two Bros Show. You'll need to make sure that once you get that confirmation of what episodes you'll be on, you promote that episode with everything you got on all of your social media. We want to see it pumping out there. We need to get the word out that this show is here for you, made by creatives for creatives. And that's it. Make sure y'all keep in tune with what's going on in the Two Bros in the Studio Show Nation. And creatives, make sure that you keep creating. Welcome back to the Two Bros in the Studio Show podcast. I'm your co-host, Tabari Fingle, a.k.a. The Brilliant Professor.
And I am Nevada Taylor, a.k.a. Hawk Brogan.
And we are here with Laylo, rapper from the DMV, getting it in, doing big things. Oh, I've been doing big things for a while now, actually, keeping it 100.
Trying to do something.
So we didn't really give him, you know, a proper introduction. So
it's a little intense at the opening.
You kind of like just jumped in like double dutch, though. But yo, just tell the creatives who you are, what you got going on.
Peace Creatives, you know what I mean? You know, I'm an MC from the DC area. I do my thing. I rap. I have a brand called the HD Society, the High Definition Society. I hope you're familiar. If you're not, you can check us out at www.highdefinitionsociety.net. And it's a marijuana-based brand because I love the marijuana culture and I smoke a lot of weed. So
yeah, he's about his brand for real.
Yeah. Hey. So in 2010, I came up with this brand and I'd like to think that it was, well, I definitely know it was the first marijuana-based brand in D.C. as far as music is concerned.
Stamp that.
Yeah, but, you know, I'd like to think that I've had an influence on the culture and music as a whole, because the term high definition wasn't being used in reference to the marijuana culture until my brand came around, and now you see it a lot of places. A lot of people are using the HD moniker. They popping up everywhere, even in the city, you know what I mean, which is crazy. But you know,
it's pay just, homage, man.
I'm flattered by it, you know what I mean.
You should be getting your royalties.
It'd be nicer,
that
it'd be nice if, you know, cats gave credit sometime where they got their ideas from, because I've kind of fathered a lot of these cats, you know what I mean. And it's not even no disrespect to nobody, but I showed a lot of these dudes how to hustle and brand themselves. You know what I mean? But they'll never, a lot of them never say it. You know what I mean? A couple of them might, but I watch everything. You know what I mean? I'm happy though, because it's done nothing but expanded the city and made us look more professional as a, you know, a viable, you know, production industry or music industry. So it's all good things.
Y'all see who we be bringing in on these podcasts though, right?
Exactly.
We bringing the originators.
You know, man, I was on this scene in DMV before it was a scene in DMV. We helped lay the groundwork.
Yo, that's why it was important for us to have you on this show, man, because
thank you
what you're
me,
doing with, you know, your brand all together is everything that's right.
Absolutely.
Everything that's right. You know, I think
hate it or love it from the business perspective, winning.
Yeah, absolutely. So the youngins could definitely, you know, piggyback off of you and give you some change off of that. Pay you some royalties. You know what I'm saying?
Just about, you know what I mean? Saluting the God when you see him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's it. You know what I mean? Just acknowledge where your ideas came from. It's okay. Go ahead and use it freely. You know what I mean? Because you're not, what you're doing isn't going to stop what I'm doing. You know what I mean? So, and that's how I've always thought, you know, so it doesn't bother me that people emulate or, you know, so on and so forth. I'm flattered by it, like I said.
Respect.
Yeah. So, look, Laylo, dude, things have changed over the past decades, you know, speaking of weed culture in the DMV area. I remember there was a time where where the weed culture here wasn't so prevalent. It was something more or less, it was just something that we were doing. You know what I'm right. saying? Now things have changed drastically, especially since laws being passed and so forth and so on. Now less people are getting locked up for carrying, but there was a time where, you know, well, I don't know. I know in DC, I remember one time I got pulled over with a bag. It was like a bag, probably like a 20 bag. Cops pat me down and then, you know, they rolled off. Word. But then I know that there were some times where people would get caught up with something. Well, I've
done time. So,
right.
There's times where people get caught up and they don't let them go.
And they don't let them go. Respect. Exactly.
I know this for a fact. To be clear.
Hell no, let him go.
So, yeah.
Hell no, let him go.
Walking around with a free Lalo Hood t-shirt.
But this was back in the time when I was in college, and it was before the culture had really... You know, we was out there. Like, that's what I said. We was, like, I was a part of this culture before it was the boom. You know what I mean? Yeah, before the boom. Like, we was just in it because we was in the streets. So it was, you know, it's just different now. Like you said, it's a lot different now. Times have definitely changed.
Yeah, definitely. It seems a little more relaxed now than how it was, you know, I guess back in the day. Now, I knew that I was fine if I'm in the hood, if I'm just chilling out there, you know what I'm saying, on the block or and I'm just rolling up and I'm chiefing.
But you could walk down Georgia Ave or H
Street. But you could not. Yeah, no. You could not leave your block thinking that you could spark up.
Mm-mm.
Yo, that's definitely a first class ticket to an ass whipping.
Right, right.
And I've seen that
just off the disrespect factor.
They
don't feel like you disrespect them, and yeah,
absolutely, just
smoke
absolutely.
Weed outside, should take you to jail. I'm gonna just whoop your ass.
Yeah, I've seen it happen in front of a club, in front of everybody. Matter of fact, in front of DC Live.
Oh, DC Live.
In the streets. Why, you know how the long lines would be the streets, and, you know, dude's getting his ass whipped. You know what I'm saying? All over, you know, blunts. Exactly. So it's cool that we don't see that nowadays, right? But then to me, it's like, okay, all right, does things become a little bit lackadaisical? You know what I'm saying? Because being in the hood, being in the streets, you know, you really got to be on your P's and Q's, you know?
Absolutely.
And so now it's like,
It's just whatever now.
Yeah, it is. So do you think that probably contribute to, I guess, a higher rate in crime? I mean, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Because
I think it's a lower rate in crime.
A lower rate in crime?
Like, we used to rob niggas for ounces of weed. Like, it's not no. I'm not saying me specifically.
Allegedly.
You seen it happen, right?
Yeah, I seen it happen. Where people would get robbed for not large amounts of marijuana. You know what I mean? Like, right. It was a lot more violent culture because you couldn't just... You couldn't just get weed everywhere. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right. So right, it's like, right. So if you was that dude.
Yeah, if you was that dude, like, you couldn't step on nobody's toe. It was the drug game. Now it's right. like you got schoolgirls selling weed now. It's just
right.
everybody got bud. You know
everybody
what I mean?
Got so bud now. Like, yeah. Exactly.
People growing it. You can grow it in your house. So everybody has weed now. So I think it's taking violence down significantly.
Hell yeah, everybody okay. ain't nobody fight.
First of all, everybody's smoking, so everybody high now.
Right.
You know what I mean? And ain't nobody getting murdered over no weed, because you can get weed everywhere, and it's right. way cheaper than it used to be. So it's like, the ramifications.
It's way cheaper
it.
Yeah. to get what? Dirt?
Nah, to get loud, to get the good yeah. shit. Yeah, I mean, shit, yeah. I used to, okay. man, look, y'all okay. about to have me incriminate myself. Ounces used to cost like $450.
Right.
Yeah, wow. I mean, you can get ounces now for $250. It's significantly different.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, a QP before Mike will definitely get your ass held up. You know what I mean? It's like right. somebody niggas know you, even if you're moving a little something back in the day. Like, you know what I mean? It's like wow. cats would come see you if, you know, the goons would come see you if they right. thought you had it. So it's like, right. now it's like, nigga, everybody got weed. You
know? Right, right.
Any house I go into probably got plants growing. So it's like, don't nobody really care, you know what I mean, as much anymore. So it's, you know, it's a little more lackadaisical, man. A lot, you know, but I don't think the weed laws is what changed it though. I think hip hop changed it.
Hip hop changed it because
let's get into it.
Yeah, because we made it a little more acceptable.
Right. I think that more artists, the younger artists start making songs directly about marijuana. You had Wiz come out and
right.
Currency and
right.
Yeah, you know I mean, that whole their movements
yeah.
became so big that all the young kids start smoking weed.
Okay.
Like the high schoolers, like everybody's like, I want to smoke. I want to be like these guys. They're the
right.
hottest, coolest little cats in the game. And their brands were marijuana. You know yeah. what I mean? And I feel like ever since that time, there's been like a huge, huge boom in drug talk in music, like
right.
drug influence, you know, music, and also just like youngsters who smoke weed and who think weed is cool, like just, and they're not afraid to tell people that they think weed is cool. You know what I mean? It's like, I want to be a part of the culture. It's the end thing now. Like
yeah, it's really deeply embedded in hip hop culture now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I remember a time where, you know, and this is just hip hop. Speaking, it's, you know, weed and its place in hip hop,
right.
you know, there was a reference here and there, you know, it's just like, right. it was a casual reference, right?
Exactly.
You know, from LL or EPMD and right. so forth and so on. And then come Redman changed it.
Yeah,
right. With How to Roll a Blunt.
Yep.
And then after that, honestly to say, from off of that record alone, that's when I really started smoking for real, you know what I'm saying. Like before that, it was a white boy here and there,
right.
You know what I'm saying. But then, talk. You know, after Red, you know, it was all nothing but Philly Blunts and Swishers yeah. and so forth and so right. on. You know what I'm saying. From there, then to Cypress Hill,
Wu-Tang. Yeah, we talk about smoking
exactly.
weed. Like you had Devin the Dude come out, and yep. all he rapped about was weed. Like Devin was yep. a big influence on the culture. Especially
yeah, he was.
I also think Cypress Hill, like what Vader just mentioned, was also a big influence, mostly because it bridged a gap between the cultures, so that you had a white audience who kind of really loved hip hop at the same time, really wasn't straight hip hop. They kind of bridged that gap. So now you as a dude, you know, down the street can rock with your homie uptown and right. y'all have something to collab on.
Right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Like everybody likes weed.
Everybody likes weed.
We can hang out. Yeah. right. You smoke, I smoke.
Okay. Hey.
Can find something else in common.
You find something
while we hitting this J, right?
Let's start here. We going uptown or we going downtown? What's the word?
Yeah. I mean, could we say that that weed has possibly been, you know, the great equalizer, you know what I'm saying?
I think hip hop might have been the great equalizer, but on a sub level.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Well, equalizer. Well, just like we were saying, is that, you know, you have your well, in reference to folks that hasn't really listened to hip hop,
right,
and then they introduced to Cypress Hill. Yeah, they introduced to Cypress Hill, so they're essentially being introduced to hip hop because. I mean, for real.
Yeah, that was hip hop.
Yeah,
that was hip hop.
Marijuana it was real hip hop.
Yeah, marijuana didn't. That was hip hop bridged hip-hop. That.
So hip hop bridged that.
Hip hop. Weed just helped it.
Agreed.
Helped build, you know, the bridge.
Yeah. Agreed.
Weed helped it a lot.
Agreed.
You know what I mean, but hip hop.
Agreed. Yeah.
Okay. Hip hop is the dopest music around.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, and everybody wants to listen to it. Is you got, you know, stories and. Party music, like hip hop has something for everybody. That's why everybody, every race loves it. You know what I mean?
And we can talk about how, you know, hip hop has been throughout music in general.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, we're really focusing on hip hop,
modern music, right?
But not even modern music. We can go back. Matter of fact, we can
dig up some Willie Nelson tracks.
Absolutely. So we can talk about folk music. We can talk about
Bob
country
Dylan.
Music, right?
Yeah.
We can talk about jazz.
Yeah, Louis Armstrong.
Huge influence.
It was all getting high, man.
Everybody. They was all before the set, in the intermission.
Right.
Sometimes during. I almost seen somebody put a blunt in the trumpet and they was just playing the whole thing.
Right.
Take a deep breath in. And no, I'm playing. But the point is.
That'd be dope. He's a dedicated weed smoker.
That would have been dope.
Breaks.
But the point is, no, I mean, that's why. In the history books, if you really look and you're studying about jazz, which I have,
right,
jazz music was demonized in the culture at the time, and particularly in the 30s and 40s,
yeah,
because so much of jazz was based in the African American culture,
right?
Duh. If you didn't know. And B, like hip hop, it has such a huge influence that they had to find a way. They had to find something to demonize, to get that under control, to get that in check.
Oh, they're making drug references. It's bad.
It's bad.
Right.
The devil's music.
Exactly.
Exactly. The devil's music.
In fact, that's exactly what they called it. The devil's music.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
But the point is, we can go back and back and back and back and back, and marijuana was there whole time. It was there.
Wow. I
mean, hemp has always been around, man.
Absolutely. Like,
it wasn't until the early 1900s where they outlawed it and said it was. And then, you know, I guess in the 60s is where it became illegal everywhere. With who was it? Hoover? One of those presidents. Yeah, you know what I mean? Just like weed. They made it as
Schedule one
drug or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's when it all changed. You know what I mean? The FBI, you know what I mean? Kicking down doors for weed, like everything changed. But when this country was built, they used hemp to build a lot of it.
Right.
So it was like,
it's always real interesting. I tell folks to go Google hemp related advertisements in early American history.
Oh, wow. There's so many.
Because that was a cash crop in America, and it was the paper industry. And the paper lobbying on,
but they weren't locking black people up for it then.
No,
they needed some. They needed another reason to lock us up.
Exactly.
Right.
They couldn't lock us up for it because everybody was enjoying it.
Everybody had it. It wasn't a Schedule I drug at the time.
No, but that's what I'm saying. It was the paper industry that really lobbied Congress to be able to make it a seriously illegal substance, mm-hmm. because hemp was about to put the paper industry
absolutely.
Well, that, and then it probably would have bothered the textile industry as well.
No, all of it.
And the medical industry.
Like
the number one fighter against marijuana. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
They're not trying to see any of this
they don't want none of it.
They want you to take those pills.
That's right, man. R.I.P. Dr. Sabies, man.
Which is hilarious. I mean, could you imagine there's a drug company that says, no, this drug is not good for you, but my drug is good for you, even though it causes vomiting, hallucinations, possible death.
Which is
roll the credits of the side effects,
as a
man.
Side effect.
Like, you might die if you take this.
Yes.
But we're going to approve it, and we're going to advertise it on TV every day.
With you
but
running
you
behind
can't
your
smoke,
little
you can't smoke
golden
no weed.
Retriever on the beach.
Right, exactly.
Slow motion,
exactly.
White woman.
You take this penis pill that might make you go blind.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Dude.
But you can't smoke no weed. Like, come on, man. Like, we know why weed is illegal. At the end of the day, like, the medical industry doesn't want to compete with the actual benefits of marijuana.
No.
And they want to lock young black people up. Yeah. So those are the two biggest ones.
So who else? We named Cypress Hill. We named Redman. We named Devin Dadu. Who else is an artist in the genre of hip hop or any other that is mad influential as far as the culture is concerned, both weed and
like
hip-hop?
Cats like ZZ Top.
Oh, respect.
Yeah, ZZ Top,
I mean,
like, definitely.
All they did was smoke weed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think somebody mentioned Willie Nelson.
Yeah, Willie Nelson, definitely.
Absolutely.
I feel like the Blues Brothers, they just smoke weed.
Blues Brothers, hey!
If we gonna go to other cultures, like, we gonna talk about other cultures.
Yeah.
Lay low on his history.
I mean, I'm just saying, I studied music for a long time.
It is.
Oh, the Beatles, man.
Yeah, the Beatles.
They have a song with a little help from my friend.
Yep.
Who else? I mean, of course, you know.
Yo, y'all can't forget about. Son, how y'all forget about Afro Man? No.
And then I got high.
And then I got high. Yo, he made a classic weed song, man.
Yo, dude. Did y'all hear the other, it was like a year ago when he kicked this chick off the stage?
Yes, yes, bro. Let's not, oh my God.
He kicked the chick off the stage?
Bro, like she he went straight WWE, young.
Punted her off the stage, bro.
I swear to God, he's like cool. Stone cold stunned.
It wasn't cool. Right, I'm not for beating up women like
that.
She jumped on stage or something.
Yeah, he was doing the show. She got on stage and she started dancing with him, and he was playing the guitar. And
it was not a friendly kick.
Bruh.
It wasn't like, let me just move you with my foot. It was like, I'm trying to put a hole in you with my foot.
Yeah. All right. That's whack.
Yeah, that's real whack.
That's whack. I need all the chicks on the stage with me.
Exactly. Like, I'm like, oh, your girls want to come on stage? You Afro man. You should be happy somebody called her what?
You should be elated.
Some girl want to jump on the stage with you.
For the name alone, you should not be getting any chicks.
Right, exactly. You're an old man. Like, come respect. On, dog. Like, I don't know, man.
Afro man.
But.
That was crazy.
The song was insane.
Yeah, he had a classic hip-hop song.
The song was classic.
Man, would you classify that as hip-hop? Man.
You kind of have
so
to.
That's so disrespectful.
Not really.
Because the record was so corny, man.
Not all of hip-hop has to be serious, you know what I'm saying? Some records are just
fun. Yeah, I mean, if we
going to
call some of the stuff we call hip-hop, hip-hop.
Respect.
Like, it's just bad, because even when hip, like, if you go back and listen to some of the 80s hip-hop, I'd be like, this is terrible. You know what I mean? But it's just because that was a lot. Yeah, and it's just they don't rap as good as people rap now. So it's just like
you listen
to it differently. Like, but even there was like, it wasn't like there wasn't dope MCs when Afro Man dropped that. It wasn't that long ago. He was a character. He wasn't really trying to be no lyrical dude. Like, I understood the purpose.
And the record was fun.
It was a fun record.
You cannot understand.
Especially if you're high. That's some weed smoking shit. That's not no.
You can't underestimate the power of a
totally good, some weed smoking shit.
Fun record.
Right.
You know, people used to hate the Thong song because, you know,
I still hate the Thong song. Yeah.
But it was a fun record. It was just definitely a fun record. It was what it was.
No. We're not going to do that. We're not going to compare Afro Man because I got high to the Thong song.
Yeah, that's
why?
Weird.
Because the Thong song, it's, yo, when you go into a club,
right,
and the Thong song comes on, cheeks is in your lap.
Yep.
All right.
I ain't mad at that.
Because I got high.
But when you go into
dance
the spot,
floor
which
clears the clears fudge the out.
Because everybody, it doesn't belong on the dance floor.
Yeah, nobody's playing
it. It has no utilization, dude. That's what I'm saying. The song has no utilization.
The only utilization for it is when you smoke it.
When you smoke it.
When you smoke it. That's the perfect.
And I still don't want to hear that. Nigga, put that Nas on.
Right. See, I mean.
Oh, okay. All right.
Every now and then.
No utilization.
But if you had a smoking party and you're having.
And that song, come on. You're going to be laughing. Get out of here.
No, I'm
like. You're going to be eating some Cheetos in the corner, having fun.
Talking about because I got high. Because I got high, giggling in the corner, singing all the lyrics.
Hey, nigga, you know all the lyrics. Stop playing.
No, that's not happening, man. Because that gets no play in my ride.
I mean,
ain't nobody. I wouldn't play it in my ride.
I ain't playing in the ride either. But again, it don't belong there.
It might be in a cipher.
It belongs halfway in the middle of a mix while y'all achieving in the house.
You're having a smoking party at your
watching,
crib or something.
Watching Law and Order for no reason because nobody can find a remote to change the channel. And everybody's looking for snacks.
Because I
got I'm sorry, man. Like, I respect my ear that much, dude, that I would be that guy to be like, you know what? We're going to change to another song. I'm that guy. I'm that anal guy. To be like, hold on. No. We're going to change record. This. I know y'all smoked out or whatever, dude. I can't listen to this right now. We're going to change this. You know.
Penis, he's that guy.
I am, dude. I respect my ears, man.
All right, y'all. We're going to go ahead and take another break. And we're going to come back to this guy. Conversation because it's hilarious. Break. What's up, y'all? It's your boy Tabari, aka the Brilliant Professor, and I'm back here with
the Blue Chip Artist Showcase.
This week's Blue Chip Artist Showcase winner is none other than the homie Lalo. Yes, the very same Lalo from this episode, featuring his 2016 single release, Feeling Like. Yo, this record is dope. I want y'all to go out and support it. Download it from SoundCloud. Get them players pumping on SoundCloud and everywhere else you can find it. This is the homie. Check him out.
It's a cold, cold world. Even Jermaine told you that. You want these bitches of blocks. A nigga better stay strapped. I got my third eye open like F-beams. I'm scoping.
weed and Adderall got a nigga feeling so focused. Bullet in the chamber, noise searching for danger. I barely trust my friends, motherfucker, and you a stranger. Don't ask me why my face all frowned, I'm filled with anger. Police out here shooting us down, who gonna save us? Another black baby on the paper's back pages. And y'all niggas rapping like we made it. They say that I'm a target if my music make a statement, but I'm still standing firm, 10 toes on the pavement. I'm feeling like everybody wants something from me. Friends talk behind my back like they never
Showcase.
Welcome back, Creative Geniuses. This is Nevada Taylor, a.k.a. Hawk Brogan.
And my name is Tabari Fingal, a.k.a. the Brilliant Professor.
That's right. And we got Lalo Hood over here. Oh, nope. We dropped the hood.
Nope. Dropped the hood.
It's just Lalo now.
It's just Lalo now.
I'm still a hood nigga, though. Don't get it twisted. Forever hood, baby. Forever.
HD Society is the brand.
It is.
Yeah. So, Lalo, we've been talking about it a lot, but let's talk about, as far as like your artistry, like what came first? Was it the weed or was it the rhymes?
Give us a history on you.
Okay.
Make sure you get right up on that mic, homie.
I'm going to answer this question. It's a layered question. It's a good question, but it's a layered question.
Okay.
I'm going to say the weed came first. And I started rapping when I was 13. I wasn't smoking before I was 13.
All right.
My mother was.
Uh-huh.
And I would always see her, you know, smoking cigarettes. Because I didn't know no better. What's
you,
up?
You got Caribbean in your heritage?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
No?
Nah.
Wow.
My ancestry is Ethiopian and Nigerian.
I can see that.
Oh, and wow. I just found that out at a family reunion like 4 years ago. That's like, you know, way, you know. Those were our first ancestors over here. I didn't even know that.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's crazy. So I'm African, straight descent. That's where my people, those are the countries my people came from.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
But, what's up? Yeah, no Caribbean. Even though I did just go to Carnival in Toronto, and it was amazing.
Hey.
Wow.
It's amazing.
That's on my bucket list.
Yeah, definitely got to go. No, it's
oh, yeah.
Time of my life, bro. But okay. But my mother was smoking weed, and I used to always see her with her homegirl Marsha. They used to be in the living room playing spades with the Bush beer and the little joints rolled up.
Wow.
And I didn't really know, because, you know, right. I'm a kid. I didn't know what they were smoking. I just thought they were smoking cigarettes. You know what I mean? But it was it was always fun because they look different when they be smoking than my mom would be smoking by herself. Like when she smoking a cigarette, like she'll be like, your eyes don't be all red. You don't be giggling and on the couch. I'll be like, something's different, but whatever. Right. I'm a kid. But I started writing music when I was 13 years old.
Okay.
And damn, man. You know what? I just told y'all a big fat lie, bro. Because technically, the music came first because I was like the star pupil in my fifth grade music class. Like, I was literally like destined to be doing music from a very, very young age. I was an artist. They had me. I was rapping when I was like 6 years old, bro. Like before, like,
oh, damn.
Yeah, it was like, remember Dare, the Dare program that they had in the 80s? Reagan.
Right.
I remember my first like big performance. I'm literally in the fifth grade.
Say No to Drugs performance.
Exactly.
Wow.
That and
there was a long rap, which is it's ironic, right? Hilarious. Right. A long rap, right? Everybody in the class had two lines in the rap. You know what I mean? It's just go down the line, everybody do their two lines.
Right.
The day of the show, my music teacher came to me and said, just do the whole thing. I had to perform. I performed because I was killing it, and everybody liked what I did it. So it was like, so I had to perform the whole joint in front of the teachers, the students, the parents, everybody. So it was I think that was the moment where I was like,
wow. Hey, did you get
I
want to
perform?
What's that? McGruff
the Crown. All that, bro.
Yo, do you have that?
I don't. Maybe my mom probably does.
McGruff.
I wouldn't. I definitely got pictures of me in the Dare. I definitely got pictures of me in the Dare shirt
take
as a little
of the
kid.
Crime.
Yeah, I mean, I need to use that for a CD cover or something. Actually,
you should.
I definitely
you
need to do that.
That.
I need
you
to
have
that.
To do that.
I definitely hey, have
the
that.
The Two Bros Show logo is going on that CD.
Yeah,
the conversation. We're I need
to.
Right
yeah, no bull. I need to put
executive
that.
Production.
That would be an awesome CD cover. I never even thought about that.
Yo, this is just
they're
funny.
Gonna be like, what?
It's just funny how life is just full of ironic things, bro.
Twists and turns, man. Twists and turns. <It's> the- I'll never say no to drugs again. Ever.
Screw you, Nancy.
Right. Fuck Reaganomics, nigga. Niggas told us to go out and get it and then locked us up and for
locked
it.
Locked us up. You know what I mean?
Motherfuckers.
Exactly. Yo, so out of all that, like, you know, far as like your, you know, once you started writing your raps, I mean, how old were you then when you started writing your raps?
I wrote my first poem at the age of 13.
So it's poems
so
first?
That was, it was poetry first.
Yeah.
Silence kills, words spill lies. All you see is pain looking into my bloodshot eyes. It's, man, that was the first.
You know
that was
your first rap?
I know most of it. And that was the first, yeah.
I mean, your first poem.
First poem. That right. was the first thing I ever wrote. And like,
hey, artist, that's how you do it. Your passion should be that hard for what it is you're doing.
Yeah.
That you should be able to off the dome spit your first.
It was so deep though. It was like, why am I writing something like this at 13? You know what I mean? Silence kills, words spill lies. Right. All you see is pain looking into my bloodshot eyes. Like it was real. You know what I mean? Like it was real. You know what I mean? It's like something like I was like, I wasn't, you know what I mean? Like, I was doing a little, right, exactly. I was like doing a little, but I wasn't no street nigga at that point. I was a little kid. Like, I was like, why am I rapping like this? But I was, you know, listening to hip hop and Nas was my favorite rapper. And,
oh, there you go.
You know what I mean? It's like, I listen a lot. Let's do Tupac. You know what I mean? It's like, right. It's like, you know, so that's where the influence came from. And, but yeah, I remember my first rap and I was 13, man, just sitting in my room writing poetry. Then I started dubbing over tapes, recording myself.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like the whole nine, man. It's like trying to figure it out. And I literally just never stopped doing music. Like, it's just always what I've done.
Wow. Yo, it's funny because we both have somebody in our past, a common thread. Your one of your old friends, Daniel Steele?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I used to work with Daniel.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to work with Daniel. Daniel was dope, but he was also a dope wordsmith too.
Yeah, no, you know what I'm saying? He was dope ass lyricist.
Yeah, he had dumb bars.
Man. Yeah, yeah, crazy bars. We used to be in a team called No Name Niggas, N3. The shit's tattooed. It's tattooed on my neck. You know what I mean? Wow. Like the whole kind, you know, because we was just the little street niggas. We was, you know, on the corner of 15th and T, all crammed up in the same junk, just trapping. Right. You know what I mean? Just doing what we was doing. And we was like, I wasn't born in D.C. Like, I was from St. Louis and I moved to Maryland. And then I came to D.C. when I was 18, when I was like, you know what I mean? I got to get away from Maryland because the Maryland, you know, that was high school or whatever. And I just wanted to be on my own. So I came to D.C. and started doing what I was doing. But it was like nobody knew me musically.
Right.
Nobody knew us musically. Like, still was from New York.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and my man Naz, like, he was from here. He's from PG. But, you know, nobody really knew us. So we was, you know, that's where we came up with the concept of No Name Niggas. And we made a little name for ourselves, man. Like, we was, like, people knew who we were.
Right.
And a lot of it was because I was wild. Yeah, you know I mean, I was wilding in these streets. Yeah, I was wilding in these streets. You know what I mean? But we was making a name for ourselves. Like, I was going to doing the battles at the Ritz nightclub with Fat Cat.
Yeah.
Like, I won that battle like 6 weeks in a row. They was like, who the hell is this nigga coming up here just destroying niggas? It's like, niggas thought I was from New York. I was like, nigga, I'm Silver Spring, nigga. I live in D.C. Like, what are y'all talking about? Like, I'm just nice at this. You know what I mean? And I'm 18, 19. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's just going in the club. And we used to do them battles at like 3 in the morning at the Ritz when the club was closing. That's
absolutely
when they used to do them. And it was so much fun.
I remember it was the room upstairs, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yep. That cat on the stage. Like, it was fun, man. Like, it was a good time. So that's kind of, still was a good dude, man. Like, he used to, you know, he had kids and, you know, did the grown up thing and all that good stuff. And I mean, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I kept moving, man. Like,
hey, man, when it's that deep rooted in you, I mean, you have no choice but to keep moving.
Yeah.
I've
never really wanted to do anything else as far as, you know, being passionate about it. Like, music is my passion. So
I know what that's like, bro.
Yeah.
I know what that's like.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I recall actually dropping by y'all crib one time. And for real, I did meet you, but it was like real brief.
You stopped by the spot?
Yeah.
15th and T?
15th and T, exactly.
Oh, shit. Word.
Y'all had the little apartment,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
you had
yeah,
an apartment
yeah.
over there by the gas station or
yep,
what have you.
Yep, yep, yep.
I remember meeting you, but it was real quick. You know what I'm saying? I think I was dropping something off of Daniel. I think it might have been some tracks or something like that, because at this point I was living in Trinidad. And also, we was at a studio and he couldn't find a way back at the last minute. And just because I gave him a ride, he blessed me with some weed.
That's what's up. That's what's up.
I was like, I appreciate that.
Real nigga shit.
Thank you.
Right.
Let me twist up now.
We had plenty of it.
Yeah, I bet.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Allegedly.
Yeah,
allegedly.
Yeah. And he blessed me. So I was like, okay, if he ain't hurting, you know, when you want to like give something to somebody, you know you...
Right,
that
right.
person really ain't got it. Right, they right. Like, here,
right,
pinch.
Right, right.
But he
right.
was like, boom, yeah. here. I was like, you good, Vic? Yeah, I was like, you good, Dave? Yeah, I'm good. Vic, you good? I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm straight.
Right, right.
I'm straight.
I am now.
I'm straight.
Yeah. The TPT, man.
But you know what? Hey, I remember Club Daedalus.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to have these battles and stuff. And they had a smoking section in there. That was back in the corner. Shout out Tex Sosa because he was so he was doing the event. But the cool thing about it is that, you know what I'm saying, he provided a smoking section back then, which of course it was something that was
wasn't popping back then.
It was not popping at all in any club. I don't care where you were at. Even if you was on the balcony section
of
Dream Nightclub Slim, you were still getting stomped out if you
illegal.
Twisted up.
Like
if
it's
you
just, put in the it air. Was 100% illegal, so clubs wasn't trying to get shut down for letting niggas smoke. You know what I mean?
Right,
so,
right. Now it's a little more lenient.
It's a lot more lenient. Like I don't even go out unless I'm smoking in the club. Like I literally roll up everywhere I go. You know what I mean? Everywhere. And you know, my whole thing is just they got to tell me to put it out, but I'm not going to not smoke. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like they come and tell me to put it out, then I put it out. You know what I mean? But
yep.
I'm definitely going to try to smoke in this moment.
Ask for forgiveness instead of permission, right?
80% of the time, they don't stop me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And dog, you be up in some of these spots, here's $20, man. All right, dog, I got you. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just light up. You know what I mean? And then the whole club smoking. You know what I mean? And then they can't stop it. You know what I mean? Then they just like, fuck it. They're like, nigga, you should just let us smoke from the jump. You know what I mean? I need to just charge an extra $5 at the door. And
they would probably make more money, sure.
Man, that'd be a smoker's fee, right?
Yeah, but they
$5
can't.
$5 if you want to roll up a smoke.
They can't do it yet, though.
Hey, I'll pay that $5 if
hell
that
yeah,
if I brought
I would.
That life.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I remember me and my man, we used to smoke on the dance floor, but
right.
we'll play pass the baton, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'll do laps around the floor. You know what I'm saying? We'll move through the crowd. Chiefing, right? And yeah, so we're creating a smoke screen, right?
Yo,
so
that's
when,
hilarious.
So when the bouncer come down, they looking around like
they don't know where it's coming from.
Where it's at, right?
And so that's what we
So they wouldn't know where it's at, right? And so this is the thing, is that when you're a smoker, dude, you get real creative when you want to smoke,
right?
And so the bouncers used to come down and they'd look around, you're like, yo, where the hell is
where's
this coming from, right? And so one time I see my man get snatched up by the bouncer, dog, because he got caught with the weed. He got caught with the blunt. And you know how bouncers are, dog.
Yeah.
I don't know how they are now, but then,
dog, he was looking for a reason.
Yo,
yeah, pretty much.
Jazzy Jeff bounced him on his neck, bro.
Ooh.
Like, when he hit the ground, he literally, like, skirt, skirt.
Ooh.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, that was the end of his night. He had a cherry on his chin. I mean, a strawberry on his chin. And then we headed out to the car, twisted up, and laughed about it after that.
I would have found out where that nigga lived.
I don't know, dog.
Allegedly.
I think I probably would have left that one alone, man.
Yeah.
I mean, dude was pretty big, dog.
Nah.
Dude.
Bounces.
Yeah.
Out there looking like Terminators and shit.
Yeah. Okay, but check this out. Come to find out, the same dude that threw him out, he's on the police force now.
Of course,
he's probably
he
on the police force the whole time.
Right, exactly. That's where he learned the moves. Learned that shit in the academy, nigga.
Hey, look. So, Lalo, let's talk about your business. Let's talk about HD Society, man. Give us the rundown. Let the folks know out there who need to know about your business.
The High Definition Society, man. It's a music events apparel company. We're branching off into other things I won't get into yet because I don't like to talk too much about my future moves.
Nope.
Right. But right now, like we sell clothes, we sell music, and we do events, and we're pretty successful at all three. I like to be doing a lot better, and I could do that with you guys' help. You know what I mean? If you log onto the websites and buy a song or buy a t-shirt or
respect
anything like that, you know, the fans out there, all the creatives, you know what I mean? I know y'all understand what it is. So, you know, support from the people is really what pushes me forward, and I've been blessed to have created something that people want to support.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, at the end of the day, people know that I'm a genuine 100 person, but the brand itself is something that people can grasp on. Like a lot of people who like buy the t-shirts from the stores, they don't know who I am, or
and they don't have to.
They don't have to, like, yep, as long as they spending the money.
That's
and
right.
Supporting the brand, that's all I care. But that's what let me know I created something dope.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like you see the HD Society shirts all over the city, and
yeah,
you know, it's
that
just,
must be an amazing feeling.
It took time. It's a great feeling. It'll be better when I, you know, start really, really seeing it expand past the DMV area.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's an amazing feeling to know that people in your city support you. Like I was riding down the street one day, hand to God, seeing two dudes in a white Beamer, bruh. I looked over, they both had HD Society snapbacks on. Like,
wow.
It was just, I'm in a white Beamer looking clean as a mug, got on my hats.
Wow.
I'm like, yo, that's crazy. I pulled up next to him, yo, where y'all get the hat? You know, I knew where they got them from.
Right,
I assumed where they got them from. It's like, yeah, man, we got them from this spot over on A Street. I was like, oh, man, that's what's up, man.
Yeah.
I didn't even tell him it was me. I was right. Just like, man, that joint dope as hell, dog. I mean, go buy some more of that, dog.
Buy some more. Like, good Christmas gifts right there.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Shit, so it's definitely a good feeling when things like that happen, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's a blessing.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I know that I remember seeing you developing a brand, I remember first I seen like some apparel and stuff like that, but when I really caught on to what you were doing, I thought that was like really effective was y'all were doing shows at the Fillmore. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like to me, I thought that was like, that was dope because one, you create a platform where, you know, you're putting other creatives on, you know, under this brand. Two, you're performing, you know what I'm saying, as a creative. And then three, you're able to move your merch.
We was killing them, bro.
Every creative, when they come out, especially artists, they want their own apparel. They have t-shirts, they have hats, and yada yada yada. But moving that stuff,
right?
That's usually the whole art because it usually got their name on it. Fair.
Exactly.
Fair. Or their face or something. Don't nobody want to wear that.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're a male artist, you might be able to get your female fans to wear something like that. But
maybe.
Yeah, maybe not. But ain't nobody wearing that. Like, yeah, you gotta.
Right.
You know what I mean? Who is that? You know, like what is, you know what I mean? So-and-so artist. Like, why are you wearing a person's name on your chest? You know what I mean? It's like, you want to see a brand. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
There's a brand. Like, it's got to be a brand. Like, you know what I mean? Don't nobody want a shirt that say Wiz Khalifa, but they'll buy one that says Taylor Gang.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's like,
sure.
Good point.
It's just different. You know what I mean? So, you know, and I noticed that early. And I've watched people and I learned from people. But that whole Fillmore thing is funny because it was like, the best thing I did and the worst thing I did was inviting other artists in to be a part of that, because now it doesn't exist anymore because people ruined it. The way the whole thing started was my brother Ethan Spaulding.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, he knew a promoter named Brian from Baltimore. He's doing shows at different venues in Baltimore and wanted to come to the Maryland, D.C. area. So Ethan linked them with the people at the Fillmore and whatever. So Ethan was the first one doing the shows at the Fillmore.
Right.
He started it.
Yep.
He brought me in. He brought another artist I won't mention in because I don't fuck with him anymore. If you need to know why, go download my new song on Hip Hop DX. It's called Feeling Like. Cheap plug. But
plug it, dog.
Yeah. But it's like, I want, you know, Ethan brought us in. And I was the one that says, yo, this is an amazing opportunity, dog. We need to, like, get DMV, the DMV in here, like in here, like what Ethan did for me. Right. I was like, I'm about to do it because I knew more artists than both of them. You know what I mean? So right. It's like, right. I'm in the scene. You know what I mean? Right. I helped create it. I know everybody. So I'm like, yo, I'm about to go get. So I hollered at the promoter, like, yo, let me put together the next show.
Sure.
You know what I mean? He was like, yo, bet you headline. And then I was like, I want to book all my own opening acts. Like, I don't want you to hit nobody. You know what I mean? Let me book all the artists. Trust me, they're going to sell tickets.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I brought in Kane. And right. Visto and Cloud9 Band and all these cats who were just starting to grind and trying to, you know what I mean? Like, I did that.
But they
that.
Have a following, too.
Yeah, I did that. You know what I mean?
Wow.
None of them will ever tell you that. You know what I mean? Which is why I don't really mess with nobody. You know what I mean? But I did that. Like, I've extended the olive branch a number of times to different people. And it's like, but that whole Fillmore thing, like, created... It put us on another, because we were doing real shows. We had the screen, the big screen.
Sure, yeah.
And the movies playing in the back with the logo. Like, it was, like, we were putting on concerts. Because we, like, we got this big stage. We're not going to get up here and look like some rookies. Like,
right.
I'm not a rookie. I've been doing this too long to not get up here and look like the other dudes that be up here getting paid 20 grand. You know what I mean? It's like, absolutely. I'm going to put on a show like they put on a show.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Because I'm trying to get them bags like they get them bags. You know what I mean? I got to show somebody I'm worth that shit.
So, right. And you got the platform to do so, right?
Exactly. So I'm going to take advantage of it. So we would do the screen for the full show, you know what I mean? 30 minute set. We have video playing the back that, like, official, look like you at a concert. And we had the live band. Like, it was just, we really put a lot into shows, and it really helped our brand. And we killed it with the merch, bro.
Yeah.
Like, we would.
No, I remember walking in the lobby.
It would just be.
Yeah, and y'all was getting it. Didn't y'all have dudes at the table or something?
Yeah, dudes would be at the table. Like, my girl would be at the table. Like, we would just have. And they just be, you know what I mean, flipping tees, man. And then once we got the vape pens and the hats, and it was just like, wow, everything, you know what I mean?
Yo, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the vape pens, dude. Uh-huh. Like, how did you land that situation? I mean, you don't have to go so much into detail.
No, that's cool. It's nothing. A friend of mine brought the idea to me.
Okay.
He was like, yo. Why don't you do vape pens? Why don't you sell vape pens? And I was like, because I don't have a plug to get vape pens. Like, do you know where I can get some vape pens? And it was really, like, not as popping. You know what I mean? It wasn't really that popping, but it was, like, just starting to do the e-pens and all that stuff. So it was like, it could work. You know what I mean? It could work, but it was like, where the hell do we get vape pens? Mm-hmm. So we did some research on the internet. It took us about a week, and we found a guy in China.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a plug with the same people who manufacture for Grinco. And Grinco are the people who make G-Pen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we basically had a plug with the G-Pen manufacturer.
Wow.
Just some people in China. It's just a different logo.
So we just same factory, same product.
You know what I mean? So that's why you see all the little micro pens that look like the G pens around. All those things are coming from the same places over in China.
Right.
So it's so once we found that plug, I was like, yo, this is like nobody else is doing this. I need to jump on this in the city before somebody else start doing it.
Right.
And you know, a couple of the head shops had vape pens or whatever, but no local brand was doing that.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, yo, I'm gonna jump on this early. And so we just ordered a huge shipment and just start moving them joints. And once it got out there that we had them, like it was just, especially at shows, man, like it was just so easy. That's why I'm hardcore, like trying to live my life on tour. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For the next few years, because that's where the money is for me. Like,
yeah, I think, you know, if you have a strong enough brand, you would definitely be able to live off of, your merch alone, and
merch
especially
alone.
If you're presenting something like, you know, your clothing, you know what I'm saying, your G-Pens, you know, so forth and so on.
My HD-Pens.
I mean, my fault. They're not G-Pens.
Definitely not G-Pens.
Right, right, right. You gotta get the brand pens. Right. Gotta get the brand.
HD vape pens.
Yeah, there you go.
Get them.
I ain't trying to get sued.
But you know what? I mean, this is a perfect segue to talk about, you know what I'm saying, the business of hip hop and actually the marijuana industry, you know, because now you're getting into the paraphernalia side, which, you know, in this area, it was definitely illegal to sell paraphernalia.
Right.
But, you know, you did have some backdoor spots.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That would sell some stuff, some head shops here and there. You know, but now, yeah, exactly. But now, you know, it's all open game right now. And the fact that you got your hands in it, you know, coming from a creative perspective, dude, I think that is just like, that's super dope.
Thank you, man. I just didn't want to get,
I didn't want to
help create the marijuana scene here and then get left behind. You understand what I'm saying?
No,
like, I didn't want to be one of the initial contributors to the expansion of the marijuana culture in DC
and then
have people just start coming up with all the good ideas and be sitting over here twiddling my thumbs out. So I'm always trying to stay ahead. Like, what are people going to do? What's the next thing? I'm already like we about to do a whole nother style of vape pen or whatever, but I'm already like thinking past that. Like, what do I need to do like next as far as the culture that could combine the culture and the cultures of hip hop and, you know, marijuana and the business, you know what I mean, all together. So I'm always trying to stay ahead of it, man. It's tricky, but we're creatives, man. That's what we do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Absolutely. At the end of the day, we'll creatively find our way or put ourselves in a position we want to be in.
Right.
Especially if we're in hot pursuit. Now, one thing that I've noticed is that now we have different types of designer weed now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about like artists. They have their own weed, just kind of like how artists used to have their own cognac or vodka, so forth and so on,
absolutely.
Right? So now that's actually, now it's into, it has been transitioned over into the weed
game.
About
to get my own strain.
Yeah, everybody getting their own strain.
We're definitely going to come out with a high definition society strain.
That is the new wave, the next wave.
You can grow weed
point.
And marijuana. You can grow marijuana in DC. So anybody can create their own strain.
So is it limiting? Can you grow just a limited amount? Or what?
You can have like six plants or something per person.
I heard, as far as the laws are concerned, that they're kind of almost trying to shut some folks out of it. At the same time as opening it up to a lot of other folks. I mean,
always tricky how they're doing the laws. They definitely just shut it down to where there won't be like no coffee shops and nothing like that. They just passed that law, which sucks. You know what I mean?
They
didn't fully legalize it to where you could sell marijuana, you doing shops or whatever, which is definitely unfortunate.
So there are no dispensaries around here.
No, there's dispensaries. You can sell medicinal. I'm talking about just recreational.
Oh,
yeah. There's six dispensaries in DC. They sell my vape pens at Tacoma Wellness. So if you're in the Tacoma area and you're, you know, member of Tacoma Wellness dispensary, you can definitely probably already seen them there. But they sell our vape pens. They sell the oil pens and the concentrate pens. So
dope.
Get those over there. They're one of our biggest supporters, man. They spent a lot of money with us. So shout out to Tacoma Wellness,
right?
For those big shipments, big orders they placed. We appreciate you guys over there. But all the dispensaries, man, like, you know, they all, you know, they're different pockets of the city.
Now let me ask you a question: do you see a color divide with that?
The dispensaries?
Yeah.
No, because everybody smokes weed.
Okay.
As far as who's going into
now,
the
who
dispensary?
Owns the dispensary?
Ownership.
Yes, of course. It's only white people.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the one in Tacoma Wellness is owned by some Jewish cats.
Okay.
Cool guys. Cool. They might be a family. But real good people over there. I've heard no rumors or anything about a black person owning a dispensary in DC. As far as I know.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing.
I mean, it's
right
a lot
there.
Of hoops to jump through. And then, you know, it's a lot of research into who you are and where you're coming from. And, you know,
really?
Just giving out dispensary? Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I got
the
it.
The feds
I got
don't
it,
want you
it.
To have that dispensary. Yeah. Like, it's still illegal federally everywhere. You know what I mean? So it's like.
So what do you have to have? Do you have to have a medical background or medical foundation?
I'm pretty sure you just have to have the money. and they have, and they have,
it's a medicinal,
it's a cure,
and they want to let you have it. Because I'm sure there's a bunch more people with the money, but they're all not getting dispensaries.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So it's just like, I'm not sure what the process is, because I'm not even putting myself in that hat right now. You know what I mean? But I know it's, from what I hear, it's a very tenuous and difficult process, that it's not very easy to get a dispensary. You know what I mean? But if you, the first step is having the bread. You know what I mean? You got the bread, you can at least get and have the conversation with somebody if that's what you want to do. But I wouldn't say that there's a divide, because it's early. Dispensary's only been around for a couple years. Like, we'll see. You know what I mean? We'll see 5-7 years from now if there's still no black people on a dispensary. Then I'll be like, wait a minute, what's going on? You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, something's not right.
But, yeah.
You know what I mean? But I don't know, because they're like, I have conversations with a lot of brothers in the industry, in a part of the culture, that are talking about trying to figure out a way to do it.
Right.
So I feel like somebody's going to do it. You know what I mean? If I had the money, damn it, I would do it. You know what I mean?
So
let me ask you this then. The edible side. Now, I'm totally ignorant to how that worked. Do you actually have to have a license, you know, to sell like edibles and stuff like that as well?
On the street or in the dispensary?
Would of course on the street you can get away with anything.
Right. Dispensary is the same thing. Like it's anything with CBD, or you know, that anything that has THC in it is basically only legal to sell in the dispensary. You know what I mean? So
yo, we went to Tabar and I, we went to Hippie Cabal, and we covered that, which, you know, that was pretty dope, right? So right now I can't smoke because I can have a pop-up piss test at any given time because I drive a CDL, a classified truck.
Yeah,
right.
I'm glad they test you guys.
I'm glad that they test us as well.
Heavy machinery and shit.
Hey, I think they should really be pulling out more randoms for real. Some of these drivers out here. But at the Hippie Cabal, everything had some type of hemp, oil, juice, merp, whatever. If I digest any of that the next day, I pop up for urinalysis, my license is getting taken away, and I'm going to jail, right?
Yeah, because it's all the way in your bloodstream.
Right, and I was pretty pissed off because I was thirsty-ish. And
the only juice that
and there was this juice that this chick was selling. I will shout her out, but I don't have her card, right? And the juice looked amazing, right?
When I find her card, I'm gonna put her link in the bio, just as a, you know, showing love type of deal.
Yeah, she was giving away some juice.
Yeah.
She was giving away samples of the juice.
It was like a guava,
and she was selling it. And I was like, damn, can I get away with a sample?
It was like a guava passion fruit drink.
And
she was like,
no. I'm like,
ain't no sample. The sample is the.
she popped the top on the jar. Right, like, right. Here it is. I was like, hell yeah.
It's the product.
Hey, I'm thirsty in the mud. Let me get a sip of that.
Take a sample. You done already got there. You know what I mean? It's like, you don't even need to buy this.
Yo, I was mad. So, you know, I left and I was like, you know what? Let me just go ahead and let Tabari know what's going on. At least he could possibly drink some of that. And so he can tell me what's going on with this. So there might come a time
there was only a faintest trace of the marijuana taste in it. You know
right. That? So you didn't get no body high, anything like that?
Well, I don't really know. One, because I'm sure
he was probably already high.
Yeah, a little bit.
right. Exactly.
He was probably already there.
But it tasted good.
Uh-huh. It tasted really good. So, like, for sure, I would definitely support her business, because I was like, oh, you know, it was bottled up nicely. The
you
little
could tell
joint.
The strong edibles, though, like, because I ordered mine from Cali.
Right.
And they're different than anything I'm getting out here. Like, it'd be like, I eat some with 10 milligrams in it, and I'd be like sleep. Like,
yeah.
Why? Like, when I first start ordering them, I didn't even realize why I was so high. I'd be like, yo, did the weed get better? Like, what's going on? Why am I so high? Why am I like trying to go to bed at 11 p.m.? Like, I'd be up to like 3 a.m. every single night. Yeah, you know I mean,
that's so almost
like,
prime time for creators.
Right,
like,
exactly. I start writing at midnight. Exactly.
Cats just getting to the studio. Hey, what's up,
man? I'm so tired right now. What is happening to me? And I was like, That's some fucking edibles, man. That's what's happening. I keep eating them damn edibles, and them joints is putting me down. But no, it's just, it's about how you make them, and some people are better at making them than others. And obviously, if you have more product to put in the edibles, the stronger they're going to be. So, you know, if you're messing with somebody on the street, they might not be as strong as something you get out the dispensary, unless you're messing with somebody who has an abundance. So,
Yo, dude, remember when we was at South by? Yeah, it was South by. And we was at
South by Southwest.
We was at South by Southwest.
Shout out to Austin.
Yep. And we were at SOB's anniversary show. And damn, Lalo, you're drawing a blank. All right, so this is how I'm gonna help you out. All right, so we was on the dance floor, and I think this I forgot the name. I think Miguel was on stage, right?
Okay.
Which that was a weird performance, but it was dope at the same time.
Okay.
Right? And this chick kept on bumping into me. And and so I turned around. I was like, yo, why are you bumping into me? She was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And she gave us a brownie. And I gave you half of the brownie. Cause I looked at you, and he was like, yo, what did she give you? And I was like, dude, she gave me a brownie.
Do you hear yourself right now? You asked me to remember that?
Okay. Okay.
Okay. I'm sure it happened. You know what I mean?
But I remember that. So I'm thinking that you should remember that.
Layla was like, I was high before that.
Right. I was like, dog.
Nah. Okay. All right. Okay.
Just remind him of the story.
The story. I believe I was there. You know what I mean?
Okay. All right. Damn.
It
all right.
Happened.
So
I'm sure it happened.
Yes, and it did happen.
Oh man.
It did happen.
That's what's up, man.
Yeah, no, it really was what's up. But the fact that I really can't, you know, we can't reminisce and talk that's not
what's
up.
I smoke too much weed, man.
All right.
I smoke way too much. Whatever brain cells that memory was stored in are long gone. Long gone.
Oh my gosh, man.
But we've had some great times at South by Southwest, man. Most definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Absolutely.
I'm gonna actually pause the episode right quick because we have another subscriber on our YouTube page. Shout out to Sean Hunter Beats. I'm communicating with you right now. We're recording this episode right now. I saw that you went ahead and said that you was gonna go ahead and do your subscription on the YouTube page. Yo, much love to you. Once again, shout out Sean
Hunter
Beats.
To the
Beats.
Subscribers.
Subscribe to that dude. His beats was dope. We was checking it out on his IG page. IG is at Sean Hunter Beats. Yo, respect to the homie. Let's get back to it.
Yeah. So look, what do you think the future of music and marijuana weed is going to look like, dude? Because right now I feel that we're kind of like at the
beginning. White people are going to ruin it.
White people are going to ruin it. How so?
You know what I seen on TV today? Football's back. Shout out to football. Thank God football is back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you ready for some football?
I was watching the game, and the commentators were exchanging gold grills. The old white men commentators. I have a gold grill.
Oh, man.
I almost took my shit out of my mouth.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was like, what the fuck is happening? Like, that's what they do to everything. The dab, like,
wow.
Go grills. They're going to do it to weed. The more popular it gets. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
It's crazy, man, how they be doing. Like, and it's, we have shit that's cool, and then they take it and they make it uncool, and then we don't want to fuck with it no more.
Right. So
it's
then like, they just decide to integrate it into any and everything.
So yeah. It's just like, I feel like when it comes to the culture is the culture. People going to smoke weed forever.
Right.
You know what I mean? More and more people are going to be smoking weed. But I feel like as that happens, it's going to become very commercialized.
Yeah.
And every day is less and less taboo. You know what I mean?
It's
I know doctors and lawyers and teachers who smoke weed every day. You know what
absolutely.
I mean? So it's like,
absolutely.
You know, it's just different.
Yo,
it'll get commercialized.
I can't wait for the day to see a commercial about a strain or a brand of weed.
It's gonna be awesome, bro. I want to live in that culture. Like I want to live in the open weed market culture. Like I want to live in that culture. We live in America. This is a capitalistic society. Like, just hit the ground running, man. Let's just let people do what they do. It's not harming anybody. Yeah, I mean, the only reason it's not fully legal is for the reasons that I stated earlier, the medical industry and young black kids being locked up. They need to keep those two things intact.
That too. So, and I believe the textile industry would be harmed as well.
And the textile industry too, yep, as well. The paper people would not be happy.
The clothing industry would get hit hard.
Oh, man. What? Yeah. Man. Because my homie, shout out to Marijuana Bullshit Clothing, they actually came out with a line of hemp shirts, and it was the most comfortable thing I ever put on.
Are you fair? Are you serious?
Yeah, they.
I would think
it was so dope, man. Yeah. Like 100% hemp clothing, like it was amazing. I was like, but it's very, very expensive.
Okay,
very expensive to produce.
And so. the sad part about that is, going back into America's history, it shouldn't be.
Right.
Of course not.
It shouldn't be. The point is that it was easier to grow than most tobacco plants were.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to grow than cotton. It's easier to grow than a lot of these other things. So hemp was about to put a lot of people
out of business.
Hey, yo, check this out. I remember seeing something on the internet that Marlboro, what's that, Philip and Morris?
Philip Morris. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Philip Morris. Morris. Yeah. That they're trying
they had
to
the pack
get
already.
You seen that?
Yeah, I seen it.
Yo, that was crazy.
I mean,
like,
so could you think they ready.
Oh, they hip.
Somebody's
they
ready.
They
like
in.
When
they're
it's
in.
When it's
they're
when it's time,
exactly,
they're gonna be ready first. Because
the medical
industry ain't gonna get outdone, or
for
the
cigarette
companies ain't gonna get outdone.
For
they're
sure.
gonna be like,
they're gonna have their hands all
legal,
up in
we're
it.
Gonna be the first ones with a commercial on TV.
Well, they could be the reasons why that, this is being held up at this point. Exactly. Everybody trying to get their footing in
place.
Yeah,
they're just trying to delay it because they know it's coming.
That's
but they,
it.
Yeah.
They know it's gonna happen. It's inevitable. So it's they're just trying to prep everything for it. You know what I mean? 5 years from now, everybody will be legal.
But you know what? This is interesting because my homeboy was trying to compare this to like the prohibition of alcohol, and then when alcohol was legal to sell, that's going to be the same way that that marijuana is going to be accepted as well. But one thing I said to him, I said, it's cool, right, to compare those, but I think this is totally different because there's many levels to the hemp industry, to the marijuana industry, like we was talking from the textile side.
Yeah,
alcohol
doesn't really affect anybody else.
Exactly, but you're just consuming, and
that's
alcohol
it.
Is
right,
for,
right?
Right. But at the same time, we can also grow our own marijuana,
right,
so
exactly.
We don't got to go to these daggone dispensaries and these stores. We can just buy
seeds and be good.
You know what I'm saying? And be good. But I think the only thing that they're one angle that they probably have the one up is just the convenience factor. You know what I'm saying? Just like how the fast food industry, everybody can have access to a damn burger,
that's
but who's going to want to cook the burger, right?
Right, exactly. I'm going to just go get a McDonald's real quick.
Exactly.
So, it's going to be interesting because, the commercials is going to pop up, then you're going to see your Snoops, your exhibits and
of
so
course.
Forth and so on with their
yep.
own strand, you
yep.
know what I'm saying, as well. I just can't wait to see that,
I can't wait to
time.
See it, but I'm nervous for what it's going to do to hip hop. For it to be essentially commercial.
Yeah, that's just going to add another layer of hip hop being just
hip hop is commercial, bro.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
I understand hip hop is commercial, but
all these dudes advertise.
Yeah, but the problem is when weed culture becomes commercial, it's only going to push hip hop further commercial. You feel me? It's only going to go further down that road to the point where it's going to be akin to like bubblegum pop. You know what I'm saying? Where it's going to be like, "All right, well, I'm kind of off to the next one." You know what I'm saying? That make any sense?
Yeah, a little, but it's like, I think the street element will always be in hip hop as long as there's disenfranchised black people. So I think there'll be the corny rap, you know what I mean? But then there'll always be the street dudes that are doing what they do. So it'll always be like, I feel like it'll always be a mixed bag. You know what I mean? As long as hip hop is around, I don't think it'll ever be like one way. I think that's the beautiful thing about hip hop is that, a lot of the stories are personal. You have artists, that tell a lot of deep personal stories, and then you have artists that just talk about frivolous BS.
Yeah.
And you kind of need all
Afro
of
man.
It. Yeah, exactly. You kind of need all of it, or whoever, it's a bunch of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just like,
yeah, I understand. I don't fully agree. I feel like to some extent we're going to have the general consensus about hip hop is going to be fulfilled in those people who are deemed mainstream, because that's what general society looks to.
I feel you.
And then it's like jazz. Like when jazz was on and popping, you can name 100 amazing musicians that you wanted to follow.
Right.
Nowadays, you can name what? Coltrane and maybe Duke Ellington.
Right.
And so right. Those are the giants. Those are the heavyweights in it. But jazz is still popping right now. But it's at this point, it's almost fringe, which is sad because.
No, you're right.
That was a part of our culture. That was the hip hop of its time.
Right. But the problem is, you know what I'm saying, we're comparing jazz to.
Yeah, there's no energy to jazz, bro.
Right.
Like, it's a different era.
Once you start putting a voice over the music, then it becomes something else.
Yeah.
Son, you don't think that was jazz singers?
Well,
but they're not.
But they weren't
young black youth.
They were singing. The difference between singing and actually holding a speech, a rhythmic speech, it resonates totally different.
I understand what you're saying, but what I'm telling you is if we're looking at the history of this thing we call jazz. So I'm not comparing the art forms.
Eventually they're going to dilute it.
I'm not talking about the art forms. I'm talking about if you look at the history of jazz, and what happened to it as a thing.
They're going to make it insignificant.
That same thing can happen to hip hop because that has nothing to do with the music or how it's done or whatever. I'm talking about the business and the society that is created around social media. That's a great point.
Right.
But look at what social media is though. Twitter is 140 characters. We're not going to be talking about E-40's project. We're not going to be talking about those artists in hip hop that are really about the culture.
Right.
We're going to be talking about the next poppinest thing.
Right.
So,
but hold on, that was what our music was about. It was all about the next poppinest thing, right?
Yeah, but the difference,
it wasn't so commercialized with jazz.
Exactly my point, though.
Right.
Exactly my point. The reason why we know, even in jazz and everything, we know the Coltranes, we know the Ellingtons, is because they were essentially pop culture.
Right.
In jazz. So we don't understand a lot of the other folks who were doing it and doing it well because we're outside of that era. I'm scared that same thing can happen to hip hop because this element that was in hip hop called weed culture was something that, again, was always in every other genre for sure.
Right.
But it was prevalent in hip hop to the point where it gave it its own thing. It gave it its own energy, its own voice. But now that is becoming popularized, I, again, I'm not saying it will, but I do fear it becoming to the point where all we talk about are the Young Thugs and those in
that. Yeah, but you know what?
All we talk, because Twitter only has 140 characters.
Right.
So it's going to be populated with him in a dress versus Lalo's greatest record he just put out.
Man.
And that's sad to me.
Well, hip hop has, in the mainstream, has spoiled popular hip hop has spoiled long ago. And in fact, it's spoiled when the weed culture was no longer the cool thing to do. So when you wanted to up your drug, you know what I'm saying? You wanted to switch your drug. To me, I think that kind of like was where the junction happened. You know what I'm saying? To where things started getting really weird. You know what I'm saying? Started getting really weird. Yeah. Gotcha. So, you know, I remember when, you know, 3-6 Mafia, I remember this one record that we up all night. We high off that white.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa. Okay. But you know, I mean, they making a record about it, but of course that was acceptable. I never understood it being in the DMV area.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If anybody messing with cocaine or anything like that, you definitely was a crackhead, you was weird. But but down south, you know,
that's what it is.
Snipping powder.
It's what it is.
It is what it is. You know what I'm saying? But I'm gonna tell you what, after 3-6 Mafia after they hit and they hit hard, like it seemed like
it became a thing
and the gate has opened up wide to the point where, you know, rappers will DMX and Ja Rule and, you know what I'm saying, they all talk about popping e-pills and stuff and so forth and so on, right?
Not a whole game is pills.
And yeah, the whole game is straight up pharmaceutical, right? You know what I'm saying? And so now, you know what I'm saying, the music industry, and I'm not even going to just say hip hop, music industry is just drugged out now, right? You know, so you just don't know what the heck you're going to get. You know what I'm saying? As far as like the future between, you know what I'm saying, the weed culture or, you know what I'm saying, the drug culture.
Like drugs and music always went together.
Yeah.
Some drugs boost your creative, put you in different creative spaces.
Yeah.
And as an artist, that's something that you can appreciate. You know what I mean? Being able to step outside of yourself and see things from a different perspective and see the world differently than, you know, the other 99% of the world. Like, you know, I'm not into drugs. I smoke weed. You know what I mean?
That shit
grows. Right. You know what I mean? So I don't really consider it a drug, but... You know, I've tried like mushrooms.
I was raised to believe that whole dare mentality. I was raised. I was like, yo, nah, man, I don't mess with that stuff, bro, because I ain't trying to be that one. 20 years later, you see me still on the stoop trying to smoke weed. But the truth of the matter is,
it's all a mental thing. If you're a lazy nigga without weed.
He was a lazy nigga without it. Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly.
Like, it just is what it is.
Exactly.
There you go. So yeah, man, I think this we had a dope ass discussion about, you know, just what weed has done to music, period.
I like that.
It has done for music. It's done for my music career.
Yeah, absolutely. Paid a lot of your bills,
speaking
right?
Speaking specifically, you know what I mean, about myself. Like, marijuana changed my life.
Shout out to Mary Jane for changing Lalo's life.
I love weed. You know what I mean? Forever. I will never turn my back on you, baby. Ever. I love her.
Respect.
That's my bitch right there, boy.
Yo, but you know what? I mean, it has affected, you know, pop culture, you know, period, all the way around. But I think the amazing thing is that, you know, you as a creative, you know what I'm saying, are able to put your hand in it, you know what I'm saying, to get a piece of the pie. Yet, you know, you still are able to, you know, be a creative. This probably helped, you know what I'm saying, fund, you know, a lot of stuff that you got going on. This is your brand for real, right? And now it's very relevant. It's identifiable to how you're moving and to, you know, the weed culture, dude.
We're going
to
keep it going, man. I appreciate that, man. And I'm just glad people taking notice and
absolutely,
you know, we're just gonna keep pushing forward, man. Like, I'm gonna always be a part of the culture until I'm an old gray man. You know what I mean? I'm gonna
like
be
Willie
involved.
Nelson.
I will be involved in the weed culture. You know what I mean?
That's
so it's I'm excited for the future, man. I'm excited for next year. I'm excited for the next 5 years. I'm thinking about moving out to Cali and trying to do some things out there.
Colorado.
One or the other. You know what I mean? Colorado's cold though, so probably Cali. You know what I mean? The weed and the women in Cali are a little bit better. We're gonna do that and try to, you know, I'm just gonna keep pushing forward, man, try to always innovate.
Yeah.
And, you know, have my name and my brand's name always involved.
Let
in
it be
culture.
Known that Lalo HD Society are friends of the Two Bro Show and will be
absolutely
friends of the Two Bro Show.
Absolutely.
And vice versa.
I'll be back, man. We got to come back and we'll, you know. We'll
yeah, man.
No, no, man. I got a sense that you have a strong political voice, too. So, you know.
You know, and that's. I would love to come back. I would love to
that's
come back. I would love to come back for one of those shows.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's Tabar's lane.
That's my lane.
I'm
right
kind of like a bystander on
that.
Y'all talking about that real shit.
Let's talk
you know
about
mean?
It.
It's like, I want to, because, you know, especially with so much going on in the world.
Exactly.
It's good for us.
We need to know.
Especially as black men. It's good, you know, like we were talking about off. You know, off mic or whatever.
Yeah.
It's important for us to have mentorship in our community. So I feel like shows like this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, you can get, you know, youngins listen to, high school, college kids listen to, and hopefully they can learn something from you guys. Y'all intelligent brothers, and y'all have something to offer. So, you know, stuff like platforms like this are good, man. So
yeah,
you gotta
man,
use them for positive reasons.
Exactly.
Well.
You know I mean? Appreciate that, man. What we try to do is just keep the conversation going or create the conversation and
absolutely,
keep it going.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Because a lot
like,
of times.
Just like Kaepernick.
Exactly. Just like Kaepernick.
Because a lot of times right. we already having these conversations, but the truth of the matter is, if an ignorant person is talking to an ignorant person about an important topic, guess what you're going to get out of it?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. That's real, okay. bro.
Have you real. Ever been. In on a conversation when two ignorant people are talking,
oh, I just
hell
walk
no.
away. I walk away.
Hell no!
I'll, yeah, I can't be
the
a part of
the minute you
those.
Say something that's dumb,
it's,
I go.
I can't.
I can. I'm a personality.
I get too
type.
Irritated. You see my face change, and it's every can't do it.
My personality
can't
type.
Do it.
No.
What's your sign, man?
I'm a Capricorn.
See, I'm a Libra.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't talk. I can't.
So like, I just
I do
did this
very bad with ignorance.
I just did this personality test, and they said that only 3% of the population thinks the way that I think. I'm the type of person
right,
who's,
right.
I can't stand stupidity.
Yeah, that's
like
me
voluntary
too, man.
Stupidity.
Like, I hate
ignorance,
it.
Ignorance, I can deal with. If you don't know. I
that's
can educate
different.
You.
That's
we can
different.
Educate each other.
I don't even like that, though. I don't know. I'm hard on that.
No.
I
don't.
I understand
mean,
it, though.
I mean,
I understand
ignorance isn't, oh, I didn't know. Okay,
right.
cool.
That's
let's find out together. Let's figure out the truth. People think I'm arrogant because they think I'm always right. I'm like, nah, I just learn from smart people who say the right things. So
right.
I'm only regurgitating what I learned from them.
Right.
So I'm not right because of who I
it
am.
It makes you smart that
I'm
you were
right.
able to learn
exactly.
from people smarter than you.
From
there
people
you go.
Who are smarter than me.
There
so
you go.
Because they're smarter than me, I'm going to assimilate this information and it now becomes my truth.
Right.
That is important.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So let's have that conversation. It's going to be a dope one.
Yeah, it'll be a good
yeah.
one, man.
I'm
yeah.
pretty sure.
But again, man,
yeah.
I really appreciate y'all having me. You know what I mean? Y'all are my boys, and
absolutely.
I love what y'all doing over here.
Dude, thanks for
and this was fun, man.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. Thanks for taking your time out to come out here, though.
Absolutely, man.
Straight up. We need to run this back on various different topics.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure you'll be able to.
I need to be like a sit in guest.
Absolutely.
I need to give me like,
hey,
I need like a segment on the
hey,
Two Bros
see,
show.
You see that seat right there that you're sitting in?
Yeah.
That's yours. Go ahead.
I need like a segment. I come in when y'all talk about weed or politics or something.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Layla, just
I'm
give me like
it.
5 minutes to just rant.
Rant.
You know what I mean? I'm
going
to just rant
it.
On something
oh,
every
man.
Time.
I'm all
you
know for
mean?
It.
The ABM rant.
Yes. I was just thinking a topic
hey, look,
to rant
hey,
about.
Hey,
you know what
the
mean?
Rant in HD.
You know what I mean? Just, man.
The rant in HD.
HD.
My Twitter rants used to be classic, bro. Like I got off of Twitter because my Twitter rants were too classic, bro. Like I was, man.
I'm all for it.
I need another outlet. You know what I mean?
I'm all for it.
Shout out to all the creators out there,
yo,
man. Appreciate
respect.
You.
Salute.
Yo, hey, Professor.
Yeah.
This is another dope episode, bro. Yo, I feel like I'm a little buzzed right now for some reason.
Hey, look, shout out to my grandparents because they be sparking and I might need to go see grandpa.
So look, creatives, I know you're gonna love this episode.
Absolutely.
Pass it around like it's a big spliff.
Yep.
Right?
To the left.
This is how you can pass it around. Hit the share button.
Yep.
All right, hit that share button.
Mm-hmm.
Leave a comment.
There's a thumbs up. Do that one too.
There you go. That's one way.
Yeah, leave the thumb down alone.
Yo, but overall, let's stay engaged. Let's stay interactive. All right?
And let's have this conversation. Just keep it going. Keep it going. Keep it going.
Absolutely. So, if you haven't already, follow us on Instagram and Twitter.
Yep.
At Two Bros Show.
At Two Bros Show.
Then jump over to SoundCloud.
Please do.
If you're not listening to us on SoundCloud,
download it there.
That's right. Follow us there on at Two Bros Show.
Yep. SoundCloud.com/Two Bros Show.
That's right. So from there you can repost it, like it, comment as well.
You can share it on your Facebook, on your Twitter, on your Tumblr.
That's right.
Yeah.
But most important, jump over to YouTube.
Please do.
Right.
Yeah.
And search The Two Bros Show.
Please do. We need
1,000. The number two.
We need 1,000 followers. That's the goal. So come on, creators. We need 1,000 followers. Let's get it done. Let's get it done on YouTube.
That's
Let's
right.
get it done.
We can take them one subscriber at a time.
One subscriber at a time.
That's right.
We got one 1,000. Right during this podcast. We know you can do it. We believe in you.
Why does it sound like a telethon right now? But anyway, when you see that subscribe button, smash that.
I promise y'all we was not smoking in this episode. I promise. This is all just natural.
I'm feeling a little buzz, bro. All right, creatives, keep creating and see you next episode.
Peace.